Hey y'all, before we get started, we wanted to let everyone know that this episode will include discussions about domestic abuse, sexual assault, and suicide. We know that these topics are tough for some, so please take care of yourself and skip this one if you need to.
And before I knew it, he was going in the opposite direction, going to the next state over.
Oh. You were kidnapped?
I was kidnapped.
You are now tuned in to the dopest podcast, What's Been Better? Sly and Lori's Steak and Shop Game. So buckle up your seatbelts and open up your mind. What's Been Better is about to go live.
This is a special episode of What's Been Better called Breakthroughs. Breakthroughs are bonus episodes where Sylvia and I have conversations with individuals about their journey of overcoming and discovering their purpose.
Yay. Well, before we get started, you know we cuss. Do not be surprised how we emphasize. But if you're new here, you're gonna have to get used to it. Also, before we get started, like, share, subscribe, do something with this episode, but do not keep it for yourself. We love positive reviews and they help us get out to other people. I almost got tongue-tied on that one, guys. Well, we're here. Anyway, today we are joined by Erica P., one of my favorite and fellow TikTok gardeners. Welcome.
Hey, y'all.
Yes. Hey, Erica.
Hi, Lori. How are you, sweetie?
I'm doing good. It's good to have you here today.
I'm happy to be here. What's going on, Sylvia? How are you doing today?
Not much. Took a lap around the garden and ran in here and even made my own shirt today and just doing a bunch of stuff.
Well, come on then. Come on, creativity.
Let me tell you something about Sylvia. This girl does what they say. She does more before 9 a.m. than most people do all day.
Y'all.
Oh, my goodness.
I would say 10 a.m., but still.
She be getting it in, and I love it. I love to see her. Yep.
Yes, it's a lot.
Sylvia, my dear, what's been better, honey?
What's been better? Okay, I'm going to go with the easy one. It's Friday, and we have officially made it to 100 subscribers on YouTube. Which is a little for some people, but a lot for me because I've been putting in that work, y'all. I've been trying. I've been trying all the new little things, changes. VidIQ has been giving me the blues. The algorithm has been fighting me, but we're here. Mm-hmm. So we are pushing forward. And simple,
now, you know what? But easy. I got to ask you, though, because I'm excited as well. Tell me what difference that's making, because that's important.
All the days, weeks, months, and now year and some change of the headache, the crying, the not feeling like anybody sees us, hears us, feeling like a mixtape rapper.
Stealing shit out your car.
Yeah. I mean, just pushing, pedaling, doing whatever. It feels like, okay, we're moving for real now. We were always moving in the right direction, but now we're actually moving, I feel like, more and more. The ideas are flowing. The interactions are there. People are receiving this. Mm-hmm. You know, we're still positive. We're not gossiping. We didn't change. We're still 10 toes down. It's still us. So it's made a difference in like, okay, keep going. Yes. Keep going. Yeah.
Our dedication is paying off, honey.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so I love
that. Hard work and dedication.
Yes. Miss Erica, what's been better for you?
You know what? What has been better for me has been I get to keep on going and get to keep on growing.
Love it.
Been better for me.
Okay.
This morning was very eventful. And not in a good way. My neighbor next door, her truck caught on fire.
Oh, wow.
In her yard?
In her driveway, which our house is like literally, you know, probably maybe 20 feet, you know, so it's kind of, it's very close.
Mm-hmm.
But see, let me tell you how the universe works. Because we were up, it was after midnight, and my daughter, she's like, Mom, I'm great, go outside to the car. to get some water. Mm-hmm. Had it not been for my daughter going outside just to get water and coming in and telling me, oh, girl, it was a very freakish moment for me and my mm-hmm. kids, too, you know, mm-hmm. Because I'm normally calm in situations like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. All I could think of was my neighbor in the house with her kids, you know, and she got little kids. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm in a whole panic. But you know what? Thankfully, the neighbor across the street was able to run over to, you know, alert her. I'm on the phone with, you know, the dispatchers. Oh, honey, I owe that woman an apology.
Oh, my God. Oh,
the way I was freaking out on the phone, I'm like, listen. But you know what? Listen, they got out. They are safe, you know. And it could have been a lot worse, but it's not. Mm-hmm. So that is, you know, the silver lining and everything. Okay. Yeah. As, you know, material stuff, we can always replace that. Yeah.
Of course.
Lives are irreplaceable.
So they evacuated the people out of the house because the car was on fire outside.
Yeah, it was literally like right next to her. I mean, like some of her roof and everything had, you know, like just started melting off. Like the fire was out. Yeah, and we have a fig tree that's in between our yards. I mean, it was engulfed. Like it was rolling.
Oh, so the fire was spreading.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. And okay. It was so crazy because I kept hearing this sound last night. I'm thinking this, you know, the neighbors behind us. I'm like, who is out still lighting fireworks?
Oh, it was like the pops and the crackers.
The fire was lighting fireworks.
Right, yeah. But it was the tires. It was the tires exploding.
Okay.
So, yeah. But you know what? I'm glad that, you know, her and her babies are okay. I'm glad my kids are okay because it was traumatizing, especially for, you know, my daughter. Mm-hmm. You know, she was very, very traumatized. So, you know, it was like...
Okay.
But everybody's good. And I'm thankful for that. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Lori, what's been better for you?
I am here.
I am grateful.
After having 1 hour of sleep last night, I don't know how I'm here. I really don't. But I'm here. I'm very thankful. I'm not tired. I think I can go to sleep. I'll probably be going to sleep after this.
Please.
I know that's right.
Please
okay.
Yeah. It's Friday. I'm very thankful that it's Friday. Mm-hmm. You know, we always talk about me and my children. And so every day I feel like my relationship with my son and my middle daughter is getting better and better.
Good.
One thing that, and all his name always escapes me. He's always giving positive quotes for us.
Chris.
He gives me positive quotes, which I think is so sweet. He actually gives me my own personal quotes. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he suggested was that I send my son verbal messages, like voice messages.
Good.
And they make a difference because he's more vocal with me.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, that's who would have ever known? And I love that. So I'm very thankful for Chris. Thank you so much, Chris, by the way. What you've done is excuse me, this past week has just been monumental for me. So I'm very grateful. So that's what's been better.
Shout out to Callie. If you are not following him on Instagram, you can get your own messages from him every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on Instagram at CallieGood20. And it's Callie, CallieGoode, 20, the number, on Instagram. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, those messages they come right on time. Let me tell you, they come right on time. He's all purpose-driven, all intentional living, all get it done for yourself. So shout out to him. He's actually doing a intro for us. So y'all will hear that soon.
So, nice. Yes,
he's an avid listener and we appreciate him. He's been here with us since the beginning. So
yes,
I know that's right. Now that's a writer.
Yes, and we appreciate him. We appreciate any of them
very, very much. So appreciate him.
Every listener, especially we've got a lot of listeners in Canada right now. Even with the fires going, we have some continuous listeners coming from Canada. And so shout out to them. We don't know exactly who you are. Drop us a line. Tell us hi. But yeah, thank you.
And tell us how you're managing with everything that's going on, so we can shout you out and share some of the things that's going on. And we're sending lots of love your way.
Yes, yes. Well,
absolutely.
Let's get started with Miss Erica's breakthrough because, again, avid TikTok follower and love everybody's content, especially TikTok gardeners. Y'all know I love you. All of the love is going towards you. But yeah, Erica reached out to us just like everybody else has and said she wanted to share. And we appreciate that. If you want to share with us, send us a DM, send us a text message if you know it's for real, or send us an email to questions@whatsbeenbetter.com to shout us out, let us know what you want to talk about, jump on the show.
Absolutely. Yeah, so Erica, tell us what's going on, young lady.
All right, so first and foremost, when I saw that you guys had a podcast about what's been better, I just instantly, I melted like butter. I was like, oh, yes. I'm so glad because it creates a space for healing, for helping, you know, for growth and and for advice. And so I figure, you know, what my life experiences have been could allow me to help somebody else, you know, or just to let them know, hey, you are not alone. And it does get better. So yeah. But I'll actually start with my childhood. So my childhood was very, it was a little traumatic. It wasn't all bad, you know. But it was some events where it was like, really? You know? And so with me experiencing a lot of, and it's just not me because I have siblings too. And we grew up in the same household. But just, you know, from my perspective, because we all, you know, have the same experience, but a different perspective, you know, because we can't tell somebody else how to feel or how an experience has affected them. But in my childhood, you know, growing up, I lost both of my parents before I was 16. And so when I was, I want to say about four, five, I know I was in preschool. And my parents had a really tumultuous relationship breakup. And my dad, you know, he's still my biological father. However, you know, he was not the best role model. And he actually, that was my first experience with seeing domestic violence. And it was very brutal. And he actually broke into our house and hid under the cabinet and waited for us to go to sleep. And he went up to my mom's room. My mom, but by that time, my mom actually had my aunt and my uncle, her husband, come and stay with us because of the breakup, you know. And they were staying with us. But, and see, when you are on alert like that, you every little thing, you know, you're looking out for it. And my mom just so happened to hear the noise coming from downstairs. And she alerted my aunt and my uncle. And when she realized it was my dad, he was darting up the steps. And she actually gathered us up, put us in the bathroom and locked the door. And he locked her in her bedroom. And he actually, he butchered my mom. He stabbed my mom over 27 times.
Now, where was your uncle and aunt? Were they in the house at the time?
They were. They had tried to fight him off. But he had, I mean, like, he had cut my uncle's finger, like, almost severed it. Like, you know, like, beat up on my aunt, you know what I mean? And so it was, like, the protection that my mom had in place, you know, Mm-mm. I mean,
they were no match.
Mm-mm. Exactly.
Right.
And so, my mom saved her own life at that time. Okay.
Okay.
Because she ended up jumping out of the window.
Wow. After being stabbed 27 times, mm-hmm. she yep. managed to jump out the window.
Yes. Yep.
And that's survive. Remarkable.
Yeah. And she ran across the street to the neighbor's house.
That's remarkable. Okay.
And the neighbor, of course, you know, they call, you know, fire department and the police and everything. And I could remember the fire department, you know, coming to get us from the bathroom, mm-hmm. you know, window. They had the big ladder, and it was me and my three siblings, and we had to, you know, actually have a firefighter come and like carry us down this ladder, you know, this mm-hmm. rescue ladder.
Wow. And you were about five at the time?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so with that was the start of the trauma.
I hear you. Okay. Did they arrest your father at that time?
Girl, yes. So, but my dad went on a run.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, okay.
he went on a run. And I mean, we could talk about toxic mothers who protect their sons. That's a whole nother, mm-hmm. you know, topic. And they eventually caught my father. And my dad didn't end up going to jail. Mm-hmm. He was sentenced to like 14 years for attempted murder.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I mean, it was just, you know, hard watching my mom pick up the pieces mm-hmm. of her life, you know, and of course we moved, you know, because mm-hmm. when you stay in an environment where that type of energy, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. has taken place,
mm-hmm.
it's almost like, you know, you can't get past it, you know?
Right, right.
So we end up moving, and from there, it was like, okay, my mom started picking up the pieces, you know, to her life and whatnot, and she actually, years after, just decided to start dating again, and then she met my stepfather.
Okay.
And I'm gonna tell you, that man was having sin.
Mm-hmm. You hear me? Okay.
I mean, because good. He was a protector. Mm-hmm. Of all of us, and he had no biological children of his own,
mm-hmm.
Not at that time,
mm-hmm.
and so he just really like took us in, made sure that we had, and you know, we didn't go without, and he made sure that he got us out of the environment, because I grew up in the projects in Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you know any, I'm not gonna say one project is the same as the other, but it kind of holds the same activity, you know.
Okay.
And so to make sure that we didn't become a product of our environment, you know, we weren't allowed to have certain friends, we weren't allowed to, you know, go certain places, so our parents kept us busy, you mm-hmm. know, and mm-hmm. out of the way. Now my dad has spent some time in jail. And my mom had gotten a phone call. Now, this is when the AIDS epidemic had really, you know, hit the fan. Mm. And, you know, they were testing the prisoners, and my dad tested positive.
Mm.
And my mom was the last woman that he was known to be with. And so they called my mom, and they told her, you need to go get tested. My mom went and got tested, and she came back positive.
Now, how much time had gone by from the time he got arrested to this?
So I want to say this was about 88 or 89. No, not 88. So about 87, mm-hmm. 87, 88.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so this was in... like the early 90s, 90s, 91, because my dad passed away in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I want to say he had probably been in jail for like, you know, between 5 and 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so my mom, of course, this is, you know, back then, this mm-hmm. is a death sentence.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
they didn't know what was going on, how to treat it. Everything was a lot of experiment, you know, experimental drugs, and you know, trying to, you know, just eradicate it, find a cure, whatever. And so my mom, she actually did a lifestyle change. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And she made sure that she got us into some counseling.
That's good.
Because number one, the trauma that we had experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And also the fact that she's now diagnosed with a terminal, you know, disease.
Right. Mm-hmm. How old were you at the time?
So at that time, I want to say I was about 9 or 10.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so, with that, my mom, she made sure that she got us the counseling, and we, you know, was going, I mean, we went to the counselor's office like 3 days a week. And mm-hmm. It was intense. Okay. And it was family mm-hmm. counseling, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what I loved about that was that it gave me myself
mm-hmm.
A chance to express how I felt,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But being that young, I didn't realize, you know, how the anger
mm-hmm.
that I was experiencing, you know.
Right.
Because in my mind, this man tried to kill my mom,
mm-hmm.
you know, just years before. Mm-hmm. And then he ultimately wins. You know?
Right. Technically, mm-hmm. I get what you're saying.
Right. And so with that, it was just like, okay. Now, they sent my father home to pass on from jail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because there was nothing that they could do for him.
Mm-hmm.
And when my mom got the news that my dad had, you know, actually died, because he had been in the hospital for like a whole month
mm-hmm.
and whatnot. And they still had to call my mom and let her know that he was, you know, being sent home, but he was, you know, going to have a guard at his door and mm-hmm. all that, even though he was transitioning, you know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And from there, my dad actually died 2 days before my 12th birthday. So I'm like around, you know, 11 at the time, 2 days before I turned 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I never forget, I came home and it was right before school was getting ready to start, because mm-hmm. we started school in September back in those days. And so I came home and my brother, he told me, he said, "Erica, your dad died today." And mm-hmm. I'm looking at him, I'm kind of shocked, you know. And my mom was pissed with him, you know.
Because
mm-hmm. mm-hmm. my brother, he was like 14 at the time. And she's like, that wasn't your place. Like, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
You shouldn't. So I went and I asked my mom. I was like, "Mom," you know, and she was like, "Yeah, your dad did die." But I also, and she had her back towards me, but she was like hugging a pillow. She was sitting on bed and she was hugging a pillow. And I asked her, and I was like, I said, "Well, Mom, why are you crying?" Mm. And she said, "Your dad was the only man that I ever loved."
Mm. Oh.
And I was just speechless, you know. And I, you know, as a kid, you don't understand that, you know, but as an adult, you get a little more of an understanding
mm-hmm.
because I knew that she was, you know, remembering their good times, because they had good times. Oh, right. God, when I tell you the stories that I have heard, honey, they done had some good times. It was just, you know, and I also will mention that my dad was also a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
So he went, you know, over to Vietnam
mm-hmm.
and he didn't come back the same.
Mm. Okay.
So, you know, PTSD,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of that. And then on top of his already, you know, erratic behavior, whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, you know, talking to my mom and, you know, hearing her say that this man, you know, my father, who ultimately tried to kill you, take you mm-hmm. from your kids, you know,
mm-hmm.
take you from this life. And you still have love for him.
And you couldn't understand that.
I could not.
Yeah,
right.
I really could not. I'm like,
That's were a complex you, set of emotions.
Were you 10 at this time?
I was 11.
11, okay.
And I was 11.
Did she explain that to you? Because you had a stepfather at this time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, absolutely.
And for her to say, you know, he was the only man she loved, And now, did she not love your stepdad?
Oh, she did. She did. But, like, you know how some people just think that, okay, oh, my first love is just, like, my forever love, you know?
Right.
And with that, you know, I was kind of like, okay, Mom, all right, well, all right, okay. But I also had to remember the fact that my mom has been diagnosed with this same illness that my dad, you know, is transitioning from, or has transitioned from, you know. And so that sent her in like a whirlwind.
Right.
And so in between that time, I was molested by someone in the family.
Wow.
And my mom, you know, she was my protector. She was very much my protector. And when I actually went ahead and, you know, told my mom about it, my mom told my dad, my stepfather. You'll hear me refer to my stepfather as my dad because he raised us, you know. And my dad, when I tell you, he went off, like, he ran this person out of town.
Okay.
Like, he was, if you ever show your face around here again, it would be the last. And so with that,
what did that do for you, the fact that he did that?
It gave me a sense of feeling, you know, protected.
Okay.
However, it also made me a target once it came out amongst the other family members. Because initially it was like, oh no, she's lying. You know.
Of course. Okay.
And so with that, people in my family were, oh, she's lying, she's making it up, and you know, and it was so funny because a few months later, I'd probably say 6 months later, came out that the same person had touched another family member.
Okay.
And so with that, it was like, you know what? And I already felt ostracized. Because at the end of the day, I knew it wasn't right.
Right.
And I kept it to myself for so long, you know?
So, so I just have to stop. So for this emphasis, you were 11 or 12 at the time, or how were you at this time?
So it started when I was 8, and it went on for 2 years.
Okay. So... So if people can imagine an 8-year-old, you've never been touched before. You don't know what that is like. You don't know what's going on. And to try to make sense of this, the father's in jail. Your mom is ill. It's so many dynamics playing out.
Right.
And then you get ostracized.
Exactly.
Right.
And as you know, we are, and mind you, my mom, she's literally fighting to live. Okay. Like she's going to doctor's appointments, doing different medicines and, you know, that kind of stuff. And I'm literally watching her, you know, deteriorate. And I'm be honest, I don't even think it was from the illness. I think it was from the different kind of medicines that they were putting her on.
Okay.
You know, because eventually her kidneys start to shut down. She needed to start having dialysis and, you know, and so with that, with all of this coming out and it making me a target amongst other people that my family members brought around. And so this particular person that my family member brought around, you know, kids, they know when something is not right about a person.
Yes.
I mean, this person was 6'7", literally 450 pounds, a bounty hunter. Okay. And I never forget my dad took my mom on a vacation. They came down south because my mom was just so stressed out. And that's why I love, you know, my dad, because he made sure that my mom, he tried to make sure that she had no worries, you know. And while they were out on vacation, because they were gone for about 2 weeks, and my grandmother was in charge. And see, our house used to be the house where everybody would come and congregate during the summertime. Mm-hmm. You know, they come and they sit, and they sit on the step or on the green box and, you know, they play cards or listen to music, whatever they was doing, you know.
Yeah.
This particular person that my family member brought around, as a kid, I knew something was not right about this person.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I felt it. And while my mom was gone and my grandmother was in charge,
mm-hmm.
and they were all sitting out back in the lawn chairs, and this man, mind you, I am 12.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
This man asked me, would I go on a date with him at 12?
Oh, no.
And I'm like, no, like it was weird to me, but he was so open with it, you know, around my family members. It never, like, they always took it like, oh, he's just joking, he's just playing, you know, never looking at the fact that this is serious, you know.
Right.
And then this one particular time, he handcuffed me to a gas meter.
He handcuffed you to what?
A gas meter. Okay.
What?
Now, mind you, I'm a little tiny thing, honey. I'm every bit of 95 pounds soaking wet at the time. And he handcuffed me to a gas meter.
Where was everybody else?
Sitting there. They were sitting there and they were laughing. They were watching. They were laughing. And he was like, I'm not going to uncuff you until you say you're going to go out and date with me.
So is this a series of different times while your parents were away?
And it's 2 weeks, yes. And so, you know, I'm devastated and I'm like crying and, you know, I'm like, you need to let me go. And they just sitting around, they laughing, this kiki or ha ha. And, you know, and that told me, you know, that I was not protected and I was a target, mind you, because I had came out and told about, you know, what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Years before, and nobody believed. Oh, they told people, oh, she's lying, you mm-hmm. know. So, essentially, making me a target, you know, for that type of person, you know. And so, with that, it was like, okay, he finally, you know, uncuffed me. And when my mom called home, I told my mom what happened, and they was on the road back home. My mom came home. She snapped. Like, she cleared house and was like, yeah, no. Like, fuck that.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
Don't come around my house, you know. Like, I can't trust y'all to keep my kids, you know, protected while I'm not here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in 1997, my mom passed away. And the worst part about it is, the same person who handcuffed me to a gas meter that had been targeting me all this time.
Mm-hmm.
He was a ball bear at my mom's funeral.
Mm.
Which I was just so, like, at this point, I don't even want to be around y'all people.
Right.
Well, yeah. Who was he to your family? Like, was he a family friend?
Who he was dating someone in my family.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, he was dating someone in my family. And with that whole situation, it was more so less like, you know, some young girls at the time, they're looking at what a man can do for them financially or whatever. And so everything else was overlooked and whatever. Now, my mom passes away in February. He's a ball bear.
How old were you at the time?
I was 15.
Okay.
Yep, I was 15. And so I was turning 16. I had just turned 16 a year before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so with that being said, a year later, after my mom passed away. Now, mind you, it was all kind of trauma and, you know, dysfunction going on in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I was technically supposed to go live with a cousin in Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. You know how some, you know, elders are. They want to keep the kids together,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it was fighting tooth and nail for me to stay there, which that I believe that actually shaped the outcome of my life.
Mm-hmm. Were you the oldest? Are you?
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So where were you in the family lineup?
I am the third child. So my mom had four kids.
Okay.
Okay.
So I don't know if that would be considered middle child.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, yeah.
But yeah. And so with that, you know, we had already had all kinds of trauma going on, mm-hmm. you know, before my mom passed away. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the year before my mom passed away, my brother, he was shot in the head and his friend dumped him at our house, you know, and I opened up the door to seeing, you know, so it was like just one thing after the other, after the other.
Did he live?
Yes. Yes. My brother is a walking miracle.
Right.
Which I'm so thankful. And don't get me wrong, we ain't always got along, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. and now that we're older, I can appreciate the fact that my brother has a testimony to be able to go ahead and to let, you know, these young guys know that if you think the streets is where it's at, it's not.
Right.
Right.
But yeah. And so, now my mom then passed on, and you know, so it's the summer, the following summer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I hated it at my house. I did any and everything not to be there. I mean, I went to school.
Mm-hmm.
When I came home from school, I went to the Boys and Girls Club.
Okay.
Like my curfew was 7 o'clock. I hated being home. I was coming in 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Who was taking care of you at that time?
My grandma.
Okay.
Okay.
And I will say this. My grandma is super religious.
Okay.
So does and that so, play into why you were also not believed?
Oh, absolutely. Because mm-hmm. you know what happened in his house, stay in his house.
Mm-hmm. That too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That old school, keep the secrets mm-hmm. in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or protect the other person, or mm-hmm. it was your yeah. fault. You led mm-hmm. them to it. Or
mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
And so with that, it was like, okay, you know what? I got to deal with this, you know, for now.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom's best friend, which I so appreciate her, because she saw that I was miserable. She mm-hmm. saw that we was unhappy. It was me and my little sister. Saw that we was unhappy. And so she told us, come over to our house. You know, told me, come over to my house on this day. I'm going to go up to the court. I'm filed for custody of you.
Mm-hmm.
She just wasn't there at that time. And see, and this was, I'm going to tell you, it was a lesser of two evils.
Okay.
If you get what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because she had an addiction. Because she had experienced trauma.
Okay.
She lost her child, mm-hmm. you know?
But you didn't know that, or did you?
Well, no, I did. Uh-huh. But at the same time, being anywhere but home.
Okay.
You would okay. take it. That's what you're saying. Less than
right.
Jesus.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so this same person who handcuffed me to the gas meter saw me. And he was in, by that time, you know, I still was kind of standoffish, but coercion is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my cousin's birthday coming up. And he said, well, I know that's your favorite cousin. I want to take you to the store, you know, so you can buy her a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Me thinking like, okay, this is genuinely what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
No, ma'am.
Well, before you go forward, I want people to realize predators are predators. They prey.
Yes.
and so he saw you a long time ago when you were 12. He had been scoping you out from day one.
Yeah.
And in his mind, I'm going to have her. You right. didn't know that. You had no idea.
Right. Yeah. And so I went ahead and got in the car with them, and he was like, we want to go to the store and go get, you know, her some stuff. He said, but I got to make a quick stop real quick. He pulls up to this Family Dollar, and I thought it was odd. He said, well, what size clothes you wear? He said, because y'all about the same size. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. And I told him, you know, he comes out the store with all kinds of clothes. I'm talking about underwear, panties, bras, and shorts and shirts. And I'm just like, and he was saying, you know, oh, I got this for you. And I said, well, I thought we was getting something for, you know, her, for her birthday. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And he was going to say it was from me, you know. And before I knew it, he was going in the opposite direction, going to the next state over.
Oh. You were kidnapped?
I was kidnapped. He took me from my home state of Delaware to New Jersey.
Whoa.
And went and got a room and basically told me, don't you get out this car. Okay? I'm scared shitless.
I bet you were.
Because we've been to Jersey before, but never to stop. It was always, we was going to Cowtown. This is me and my family. You know, my mom, my stepdad, you know, my siblings, you know, but that place I had never, you know, seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he coerces me to go into the room. And so, like, he was just like, yeah. He was like, so you going to let me, you know, you going to give it to me, or basically you going to make me take it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
You know?
So it's like you got two choices.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And so the assault happened.
Mm-hmm.
And me being me, I had got my nails done, and I was chewing off my nails, the acrylic nails. Mm-hmm. And I was spitting them mm-hmm. all over the room. Mm-hmm. You know, went in the bathroom, touched the mirror, leaving fingerprints. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, was that about for you? Was that your way to what? What were you doing that for?
For me, that mm-hmm. was, oh, they gonna know I was here.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That mm-hmm. was the evidence. Good. Because in my mind, as he was going over this bridge, I was like, okay, you can either jump out the car,
mm-hmm.
out of this
mm-hmm.
movie car,
mm-hmm.
or you could just stay in the car. But it was just like, if I jump out this car, I'm gonna die.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, the traffic on the bridge is just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
and
right,
so,
right.
Nonetheless, he goes to go, I guess, close out the room or whatever, mm-hmm, you mm-hmm. know, in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, I saw a payphone, and I made a collect call to my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And see, my friend, honey, I'm not gonna lie to you. We had some good times. Now,
mm-hmm.
I mean, like, she used to take her mom a car while her mom was asleep.
But did she believe
and so
you
we
when
used
you
to
called?
Be joy riding and stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so right. I'm like, oh, I called her. I was like, hey, because she lived not far from mm-hmm. over the bridge. I was like, can you get your mom's car?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or can you call your, you know, call your mom? Mm-hmm. I didn't think to call the police at that point in time because I just was like, I needed somebody familiar.
Mm-hmm.
You understand mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was no way. And so he had went ahead and, you know, drove me back, gave me this bag, and then had the audacity to go in his pocket, pulled out $60 and gave it to me and was like, and I mean, that was the lowest of the low point for me.
Yeah.
I felt like trash. And
can
so.
Did you know whether or not he was going to take you back? Did he say he was going to take you back at some point?
You know what? He threatened to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
He told me, he said, if you tell anybody about this, I'm going to kill you.
Mm.
Wow.
And I was so, like, when I tell you, I was so scared because, you know, this man, he's a bounty hunter and, you know, he's
like, could get away with it.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's very intimidating. So,
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Erica, your story is this is powerful. This is powerful. And it's so impactful. We need to do a part two. So we're going to pause right here and we're going to just keep going, but we're going to pick up on the next episode.
Yes.
All right.
Y'all, if you haven't already, like, share, subscribe, do something with this episode, but do not keep it for yourself. This has been a lot. So I hope that you are taking care of yourself. But yes, we are going to catch up with part two next week. Thanks for listening and thanks for watching.
That's it for this week's show. I'm Lori Scott.
And I'm Sylvia Johnson. And you've been listening to What's Been Better.
A big thank you to Lagan Music, Inc. for providing our music.
This show is edited and produced by us, with a little help from our family and friends. We love you all.
We want to hear what's been better for you. To be a guest on the show, send us an email to questions@whatsbeenbetter.com. Or you can find us on Instagram and TikTok at What's Been Better Podcast.
Thanks for listening.